Lanae, that's an unusual name in Buena Vista, Colorado, hits it on the head here. Congratulations on Asia coming into your world. Also, it appears that she will probably come in the week of your next birthday. And she's absolutely right. The projected date of arrival is right on or around June 17th, 2007, which, as some of you know, is in fact my birthday, the cycle of life. Yikes. Coming up in a moment, Jeffrey Wands has hosted his own radio program in New York now for many years. He's also made many television appearances, most recently on A&E's Mediums, We See Dead People, Maury, and, of course, the Today Show. Jeffrey has come to understand that everyone has some psychic ability within them. These hidden abilities within us can enrich our lives and the lives of others. In his first book, The Psychic in You, he would like you to embark on this journey and help you to release the psychic in you. So, coming up in a moment, we will look into the psychic world with Jeffrey Wands. Stay right where you are. Coming up in a moment, we're going to look into the psychic in you. Why don't we just go ahead and do that right now? Jeffrey Wands, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Welcome to the program, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, and congratulations on your happiness coming.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a bit of a surprise, but...
Well, you know there's no accidents.
That's what I'm told, and this definitely was no accident. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is exactly the kind of program I love doing. And the first question here I see I actually want to ask, which is all programs that we do come with pre-programmed questions. I rarely follow them all, but some of them are pretty good. What is a soul map, Jeffrey?
In my experiences, it's basically the plan that we come in with. Probably a good example of this is when we have tragedy and people go through terrible tragedies, and through that tragedy they prevail. Another example would be, which I always use, is like the idea of Bill Gates, who, you know, ended up being who he was based on his soul map. And I think that we all come in with that, you know, soul potential or soul purpose.
And now there's a big difference. You said soul potential.
Yeah.
Is it only a potential, in your opinion, Jeffrey, or is it actually a map of what's, you know, how your life is going to unwind? In other words, Bill Gates, you mentioned Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Could Bill Gates have done anything else, or was Bill Gates predestined, you know, to become Bill Gates?
I think in my experiences, I would say to you that Bill Gates was predestined to be Bill Gates. That he came in with, you know, a definitive soul map, and that's what he was supposed to do.
The thing that bothers me about that, Jeffrey, is that that means we're sort of all little marionettes, right? Dancing to a preordained tune.
In some cases, I would agree with you, but there are different elements of the map where I call the GPS changes, because we kind of go through a different, you know, longitude and latitude. And, you know, I use Bill Gates as an example, but there's other examples that I know of and I could think of where people have gone through things that are not on the magnitude of Bill Gates, but end up absolutely fulfilling their sole purpose.
Well, I mentioned in the first hour, I've gone some, you know, through some of the biggest mountains of happiness and the biggest valleys of tragedy you can possibly imagine. And so I don't know. I often wonder whether that's all preordained and we're supposed to trudge through these, as Ramona told me, and play out the hand we're dealt, or whether free will enters into all of this someplace or another, that old bitch of free will. What do you think?
I think the free will part does come in. I mean, people will ask me, and I talk about it in the book, the idea, which is jumping ahead a little bit, but the idea when you have somebody that all of a sudden goes out in their life and, you know, passes on, was that like a predestined thing? And usually in the experiences I've had, that person will give you an indication or give you an aspect of knowing that it's, you know, it's their time and they're supposed to be going. And I think that's where that part comes in with the soul map.
Huh. this, okay, is this a first-time soul, or do you believe in reincarnation, Jeff?
Oh, I absolutely believe in reincarnation.
Absolutely do.
Yes, I do.
I have frequently said and been told by many guests that reincarnation was, at one time, a part of the Bible, and that it was deleted at the Council of Nicaea. Now, is that, as far as you know, true or not?
I don't know. I would say to you that I really believe it's always been there, and I would say to you I would have to agree with that. I think it's a part of what's there, and I think, unfortunately, what happens is people want you to believe what they want you to believe, and they're not always open-minded in that sense, and I think that that was something that they just couldn't accept. But there's no doubt in my experiences that you see souls, they come in, you can tell who's an old soul, who's a young soul. And a good example is like what you were talking about, what you went through. Okay, there's a reason soul-wise where we go through this.
Give me some sort of further explanation of what you mean by that. There's a reason why we go through these things.
Well, I mean,
is it because of some previous life?
Yes, I mean, I look at it from the point that you went through the tragedy of losing your wife, you went through all these tough experiences, okay?
Oh,
and
yes.
Then you brought all this happiness in now. So it's like you went the full gamut or the full circle to get to that point. So I really believe in my experiences and what I've come to learn through the spirit world is the factor that the spirits play a role in that, and that's where the reincarnation line comes in, and that's where we really learn to understand our potential and our purpose.
Is it your view, and in recent weeks I've had guests on who have, I mean, it's always bothered me, Jeffrey, that what in the heck is reincarnation good for if you cannot consciously remember any of the triumphs or mistakes or tragedies from previous life? But people have said, no, nobody could stand that consciously. It's all in the subconscious. And
absolutely. I agree with that because I think it's triggered at different points. It's like a person that would come in that would have alcoholic issues, and all of a sudden they are able to change those issues. Those are, a lot of times those things are brought in from other times.
So a person with alcoholic issues in one life is likely to do what in the next? Follow along and once again have the same problem or the opposite and not touch alcohol?
In my experiences, usually if it's been there before, it's going to come back again, unless it's conquered and it's dealt with. And that's the part of the reincarnation.
I see. In other words, what you conquer in one life, you don't carry forth to the next.
Exactly. And that's how the soul evolves.
And many have described it as a school, one from which you eventually graduate?
Yes, I would call it a full-time university.
Full-time university. But graduation is possible.
At one point, absolutely.
And then what?
And then that's where we get into the higher consciousness and you evolve, and I think that's where we get the idea of the higher being. I mean, it takes a long time. I don't know of anybody on this plane right now that's gotten to that point where they've gotten to that university.
You might not. I mean, maybe they go through a door that we can't get through.
It's quite possible.
Does the soul come in with a specific purpose?
In my experiences, I would say most definitely. I mean, there are no accidents in the things that I've seen from the point that you are guided. I think that you do these little bumps along the way sometimes where you kind of, I don't want to say sabotage yourself, but you stop yourself from reaching where you're supposed to be. I had put examples of things I came across. I had this very well-known actress who constantly, in the beginning, was in her way, and every time she was close to stardom, you know, she would crash. And then finally she achieved where she was supposed to be. But it was a constant struggle from the point of anything that could go wrong, you know, did go wrong.
Yeah, there are people, aren't there, who constantly are sabotaging themselves.
And it is, and I really believe that's where the soul map comes in, because we have these things that we bring in. You can call them gifts. You can call them abilities. But they are things that are very much, you know, they're prevalent. They play a role.
Is there a way in this current conscious life that we have of taking a look at the soul path, of, in other words, understanding where your life is going to go?
I think it happens on an everyday experience. I think what happens with some people is they may start out in one direction where, I'm trying to think of a good example. Probably a good example I would be is I had a lot of people, unfortunately, that went through the whole 9/11 experience, you know, and living in New York and dealing with some of the families. And I saw, you know, firsthand with some of the people that I dealt with where their lives were terribly altered by this event. And they were able to, you know, change their total path and, you know, turn it around. One ended up being in public office. You know, one did all this charity stuff and really made a difference. And, you know, all these different things evolved from this, which was a horrible, horrible thing.
Is there any correlation, Jeffrey, between great success and great tragedy? And I'm almost asking this from a personal perspective because
I absolutely think so. And I think what will happen sometimes is that's where we get into the idea of what you're working out before, where you get these people to go through these horrible, horrible things in this lifetime, and then they're able to overcome it and, you know, get to a higher level as far as success. And if you look at most, I would say, successful people or people that I've come in contact with who have changed their life through tragedy. I mean, I'll never forget this. I had this lovely woman who lost 3 sons. And on top of that, I'm going to talk about a triple whammy, she lost most of her family in the Holocaust.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, I would know, you know what it's like. You have kids. And to go through an experience to even think about losing 3 kids, and she lost 3 kids in a row. They were all, unfortunately, hemophiliacs, and that was before they tested blood. And they all ended up dying, you know, from being HIV.
Oh, my God.
She lost five family members in the Holocaust on top of that. So if that doesn't get you, I don't know. You know, losing the kids would definitely put the topper on it.
Okay, well, here's an obvious question, and that is these tragedies, these horrible things that come along in the middle of a good life and just absolutely bring an axe down in the middle of your life, is there any way, in your opinion, to alter the probability of these things or change the probability of these things from happening?
I think that's part of the soul map that has to take place. I mean, I've had it with people. I'll give you an instance. Recently, I had 2 clients come, and the gentleman was sitting in front of me, and I said to him, you know, your dad is standing behind you. He's referencing something with the heart, and he's showing me something with your valve. I would really go have it checked. And he poo-pooed it, and, you know, of course, being skeptical, and, you know, I find it to be with a lot of men, and I find it to be with most people because it's more if you can't see it or you can't feel it, it doesn't exist. And I said to him, I said, look, I'll make you a bet. Why don't you go and, you know, to your doctor and have him give you a test? And sure enough, he had a major heart valve that had to be replaced.
My God.
So, I mean, that would be something like I would use as, you know, as far as altering tragedy, because the doctor said to him that if he didn't go, he would have, you know, passed in, who knows, maybe 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever. So that would be an example.
Okay, so obviously then you are psychic.
Most days.
Most days?
Yes.
How did you find this psychic ability in yourself, Jeffrey?
It actually started, it was kind of comical. I was probably about 6 years old at the time, and I had gotten in trouble, and I was looking at my mom, and I remember sitting in the room, and I was in the living room, and my mother was like going into this whole thing about what I did and what I shouldn't have done, and I looked at my mother very candidly and said to my mother, by the way, your grandmother is standing in the room, and she's telling me you did this, this, and this when you were my age. Why are you punishing me? You didn't get punished. And she just looked at me like with a real profound, more, you know, profound look, and kind of looked at me and just ignored it. And, I ended up getting in trouble. It didn't do me any good. But that was like the instance where it started. And all through childhood, I had all these different instances where, you know, you talk about imaginary friends. Well, I didn't really have imaginary friends. I had.
All right. I'm going to ask a couple of stupid questions, Jeffrey. For one, when you saw your grandmother, was she as much in the flesh and blood as everybody else in the room? Was she somewhat translucent? Was she just something that occurred in your mind? In other words,
what form?
How do you see these people, these dead people?
When I saw her, she was coming through where she was translucent, where I could see her in the room and I could look through her.
So,
I've had other instances where we've had where I'll see a full apparition, where I will actually see a person in full form.
I would think, you said you were 6?
Yeah.
I would think that would just scare the hell out of a situation.
It didn't, because she was very friendly, and she was, like, trying to calm me because I was about to get killed for doing what I was doing at that time.
So that's how it began, and it's been this way all your life?
Yeah, and I had instances. I'll tell you a funny instance. I remember when I was about 11, my next-door neighbor at the time was a huge, huge car enthusiast. And I remember standing outside with him, and he was working on the car, and I looked at him, and I'm like, you know, there's something wrong with your transmission. And he looked at me. He's like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, like 3 days later, his whole transmission blew. And he thought I did something to it. And I remember him knocking on the door, yelling at me. And I had, like, whole instances of that, you know, growing up.
Well, you know, I've always wondered about that. Psychics, for example, frequently work with police departments, and police departments rarely admit it, although sometimes they will call a psychic at a desperate moment in a case that they're trying to solve. And I've always wondered, if a psychic goes to the police with some information that turns out to be true, doesn't that psychic run the risk of being accused of being part of the crime?
Absolutely. I'll give you a funny story with that. I was working on an arson case. And I must have been at the time, probably going back about 15 years ago, and I was sitting with this family, and the family had hired me and wanted me to come in to help on this case. And I met with the detective. It was an old, you know, kind of staunchy Irish detective. And he looks at me, and he, like, hands me an envelope, and he goes, here, this is a clue for the case. And I hand it back to him, and I'm like, this is your shopping list. Make sure you get the bread, the eggs, and the butter your wife wants. And, you know, you deal with stuff like that. But I remember, you know, by the time we had gotten done with this, it ended up being the fact that the person that actually asked me to get involved with this was the person that ended up being the person who caused the fire.
And at what point did you realize that?
Right when I started sitting with the person, it started to unfold. So it ended up being that the detective was like, you know, I was given the detective information on how he did it.
Wow. Are you following this series on television about the psychic in Arizona?
Yes, the medium.
Yes, medium, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And what's the difference, by the way, between a medium and a psychic, if any?
I don't think there is a difference in my experience. I mean, I do get both ends of it. I get these profound psychic events that take place, and then I do deal with, you know, the dead people, so it's a mix. But it is kind of funny because at times I could totally relate to what goes on, you know, in that show, because it's very typical of my life.
I have been dying to interview Ms. Dubois, and who knows, maybe we'll get that opportunity, maybe not, but you sound an awful lot like her in many ways. So you do identify with a lot of what you see there.
Yeah, I would say the funniest thing that I ever saw on that show was the fact, I think it was an early episode, where she was working, I guess, with the Texas Rangers on a case.
That's right.
And she misses the hurricane.
Oh, that's right.
And, you know, I always tell people all the time, that's the human element of what we do, because our emotions sometimes block the most obvious event. Like, she could pick out the fact of, you know, who the person was, who killed who, and in relationship to that, you know, miss the most important thing, the fact that you got a hurricane coming.
Sure. So I've not heard the term before, soul map. This is sort of a new one on me.
Well,
where did that come from?
I came up with, yeah.
Ah, that's why I've not heard about it. You came up with it, okay.
Well, I'm sure it's been out there, but it's just something that impressed me, which I consider to be a very good term to use for people's purposes.
Okay, when you look at somebody or consult with somebody, can you literally see that soul map laid out without regard for time? In other words, can you look into their past as well as their present and future?
At points, I will get glimpses of what I consider to be past lives where there's been issues that will tie into either relationships per se. Like, I had a woman that I worked with who had a horrible, horrible relationship with her dad. She was sexually molested by the father. All these terrible things that went on. And we were able to see from where that came from. And I actually talk about in the book how I work with different therapists. So basically, depending on the situation with her, I worked with the therapist to help her have closure, because the father ended up passing, and she had all this residual anger, and it had come just not from this lifetime, it had come from before.
Okay. Jeffrey Wands, hold tight. We're at the bottom of the hour. Jeffrey Wands is my guest, and he's obviously a psychic. Tragedy. It's a part of many, many of our lives, right? And how it affects our souls, and if you will, our soul maps. I find that absolutely fascinating. Success and tragedy, they seem to go hand in hand. From Manila, I'm Art Bell. Yes, indeed, here I am. Data Dude, that's the name he gives himself, from Houston, Texas, says, "Hey, Art, with your announcement of the new addition to the family tonight, I cannot help but remember something to that effect having been predicted on your predictions for 2006 show at the end of last year. Better keep track of that guy. Congrats." Oh, you know, Data Dude, my God, I seem to remember it too. I do. I remember that. Oh, God. The predictions from last year's New Year's Eve show and the couple of days prior to or so. We always do predictions between Christmas and New Year. By the way, I'll be doing it this year, too. Didn't make it to the Philippines. They're still back in America somewhere. However, I understand they're listening to that program and documenting them for me, so we will have them this year, and I really do remember something like that. Anyway, Jeffrey, I've got more to say about tragedy, a lot more to say about tragedy, and I suspect Jeffrey will have a response to it in a moment. You know, I'm 61 years old now, and so when you get to be that age, and in and around this age, you begin to do your own little life review. It's inevitable when a lot of you get to be this age, if you're that lucky, why, it'll happen to you. And I'm sure I'm talking to people who are significantly older than I am, and they certainly know what I'm talking about. Well, let me tell you, just before I bring Jeffrey back, my life has been one strange ride, really a strange ride. I never sought success. I wasn't one of those people who, I want to be a star. None of that baloney for me. I just absolutely fell in love with radio. I just fell in love with radio, and I followed that path, not to seek money or fame or any of that, just because I just loved what I was doing. However, it got after the success came, and I began doing very well. A series, as you know, those of you who have followed my life, there has been a series of very large, giant successes. I mean, it couldn't get any better. A syndicated radio program that still exists, 15 going on 20 years later. Several books that I've written, two that were on bestseller lists, one that was turned into a movie. I mean, just, you know, one gigantic, wonderful thing after another. But interspersed in the middle of all that were these incredible tragedies that have occurred in my life. And I won't detail those. Most of you know what a lot of them have been. And just terrible tragedy. And it actually got to the point for both Ramona and myself that when things got going too good, too well, if you will, we just got to the point where we waited for the other shoe to drop, knowing inevitably that the other shoe was going to drop. Jeffrey, welcome back. Does that have a ring to it?
Oh, absolutely.
It's absolutely. The truth.
It's proof in the pudding, as I always say, from the point of the fact that, yes, you went through these terrible things, okay, but I definitely, and I talk to this with people, I find it to be when people do move on, and, you know, you went through a terrible thing and losing your wife, they have an effect on us in the sense that they direct us from where they've gone, where your wife, you know, was making sure that you got another part of your life back. And, you know,
it's not just that. I mean, there was a series, Jeffrey, of, on the one hand, just wonderful things followed by absolutely tragic things. And something happened to my son. A lot of people are asking about that. I do have a son by a previous marriage, and I'm not going to talk about that because it's a very tragic situation. But anyway, he's with his mom, and I just don't have any more to say about that at the moment. But a lot of tragedy involved there. And other aspects of my life, just as far down as you can go and as far up as you can go, Jeffrey. And do the two walk hand in hand, the ups and the downs?
There is no doubt in my mind and my experiences that they do. But we, in the soul capacity, have that ability to overcome, and we end up doing it. So when you look at everything that you've been through and you look at the journey that you've taken, you know, now you've come to a different point where you're coming to a different point of peacefulness.
That's true.
Which it is.
And happiness. And happiness. And so, but again, I worry about this this cyclic repeating of, you know, it's good and then it kaboom.
Well, we do have a tendency sometimes to put that energy out because it's the fear, and it's also the fact that, you know, you're a public figure and you have to look at it. It was interesting because I had heard one of the callers earlier saying about the fact that with you on the radio, it's like listening to family. And in essence, that's what you do because you're healing a lot of people by what you do.
Well, after you've been on the air for a couple of decades or so, it is like talking to family, of course. And, you know, a lot of people now will call me up and say things like, you know, I've been listening to you since I was a baby. How happy am I to hear that? It really makes you feel old, which I am. So anyway, all right. So you actually hear from people on the other side. When you do that, Jeffrey, do you more times than not see them, or do you more times than not get a mental message?
It's a mixture. They usually will give me something I can relate to. I'll give you a perfect example. Here in New York, about 2 weeks ago, we did a breast cancer fundraiser. The station that I'm at, we're very big into raising money for breast cancer since we have one of the highest incidents in the United States in the area that I live. And it was kind of interesting. I'm doing an audience of 500 people, and I'm out in the audience, and all of a sudden, I hear the Honeymooners theme in my head. And I'm saying to myself, does that mean I have Jackie Gleason coming through? And I go up to this gentleman, and I stand right in front of him, and it was because of the fact he was a bus driver, and his dad was a bus driver. And they were using it in that way so I would identify with what this gentleman did, because his dad was using it to come through in that way.
How do you identify, particularly when you're not seeing a dead person, how do you identify the fact that you are, in fact, getting some message from the afterlife as opposed to just, you know, I mean, we all have random thoughts and things that occur to us, coincidences, that all this that goes through our brain. How do you know when you're getting something from the other side versus just something, you know, random neurons firing?
In my experiences, when I've done stuff, they'll be very specific. They'll say, this is so-and-so, he passed this way. They'll say, you know, who they're with, the different people that come through in that way. And they're pretty specific, usually. I mean, probably a good example, when you were talking before about, like, a crime scene, and when you're talking about how psychics, you know, do stuff with crimes or, you know, murders and things like that. What I do periodically is I do the Maury Show. And when I do the Maury Show, we do stuff on missing kids, and they will take me to the area where the child disappeared.
Right.
And I'm able to kind of retrace where that child, you know, was taken or abducted or murdered, God forbid. And I'm able to do that because it's a lingering energy. It's a residual energy. And in a lot of cases, if the person has been murdered, that soul is still going to be around.
Okay. Well, that's kind of where my next question was going. You said a lingering energy.
Yes.
Jeffrey, in your opinion, is what you receive from the other side contemporary information? In other words, let's see, how am I trying to put this? There's a certain line of thinking out there, mm-hmm, that what we think we receive from the other side is sort of like that giant tape loop, the residual something or another that's left from somebody who has passed away.
Well, I would call it the consciousness.
Fine. Let's go with consciousness. Do you think you're actually receiving active consciousness or just sort of, you know, a residual of what's left?
I think some cases you will get residual, but in most cases, because in my experiences, the soul continues its journey, it would be very much so that you're getting a continual connection.
Huh. So you think it's contemporary, current, real conscious information from the other side?
Oh, very much so, because I've had things come through where somebody will say to me, the perfect example of this is recently, you know, I had a woman that her dad had passed away and she was trying to get pregnant. And during the session, he came through and said, you know, you're going to be pregnant in 3 weeks. And she was.
Uh-huh. So. Jeffrey, what everybody would want to know the answer to this one, and that is, what do you know of the nature of the other side?
Well, in my experiences, I mean, I'll give you an interesting thing. I got a chance to go down to see Dr. Raymond Moody, and I got a chance to go into his psychomantium.
Uh-huh.
And I had a really profound experience when I was down there. I actually went out of my body, and I kind of did like a like a near-death experience when I was there, and he was telling me afterwards, and if you've ever gotten the opportunity to sit with him, you know, he goes through a whole psychological profile. He'll sit with you for a good 2.5 hours, ask you all these questions, make sure that you're not on any kind of drug or any kind of hallucinant or anything like that, and he prepares you mentally. And I remember going in the room, and if people are not familiar with the psychomantium, it goes all the way back to ancient Greece, and it's real, real interesting. And I remember going through that process, and when I was going through that process, of course, you stand in front of the mirror, you go into the mirror at one point. I could actually feel myself coming out of my body, going into the mirror, and kind of walking down a tunnel. And as I was walking down this tunnel, I could see all these faces, and there were some faces of clients that had passed away, some were relatives, all different people. And I remember it was that feeling, you know, when you come out on a spring day and that the sun hits you for the first time?
Sure.
That's what it felt like. And I remember going, and all of a sudden I got to a point, I got to a bright light, and they're like, you went too far. And then I remember after that, Raymond coming back in the room, and, you know, it was like I bounced back, but it was like a very profound feeling. But in my experiences with going through that and seeing what I deal with in an everyday life, I think there's different levels of souls in the spirit world. And that's where we get the idea of ghosts. That's where we get the idea of good spirits, bad spirits, you know, spirits that are, you know, around that haven't really grown or haven't really let go. And that's where I think we get the whole good and evil experience.
All right, let me try this question again. I'm really quite curious, and I know everybody is, what it's like on the other side. Have you had any hints, any discussions with those on the other side? Have they actually described to you the environment in which they're in?
Well, in one experience that I had, they described to me that it was like a field. And in that field, you know, there was sun and there were other people, but they weren't really in the physical body. They were in like a conscious state. And they kind of described it as a parallel universe. That would be the way I would describe it. It was like, would us be going from here to beyond our universe? That would be the way that they were kind of describing it.
Okay, in another universe.
Yeah.
But are they in a place that we can relate to? I mean, are there... You said a field. Are there homes? Are there cities? Are they conducting a life like the life they had here?
I would say from what I was experiencing and the way they were coming through, the consciousness part was going on. I don't know that I would say there was houses or Bloomingdale's or Macy's and shopping and everything like that, but they were still very much connected to their loved ones here, where they were playing a role or trying to play a role to make sure that those souls got where they were supposed to be.
I hope there's soul radio.
I'll let you know.
Well, maybe I'll let you know, buddy. Okay, well, all right, on to this. And it's an extremely interesting question, and that is, what happens with animals when they pass? Do animals have souls, in your opinion?
Well, in my experience, when I was writing the second book, our beloved golden retriever passed away. And it was kind of interesting because I actually grieved more over her, probably more so than out of anyone that I've lost in my lifetime. And even dealing with death and every day. And I remember that, against my own better wishes at the time, you know, I had a dream about 3 nights before we were going to take her in for surgery. And in the dream, one of the spirits had come through and said, you know, don't take her. She's going to die no matter what. And sure enough, she did. And I remember like 2 days afterwards, I was, you know, in my room upstairs, and my wife was sleeping next to me, and I was awoken by this breath, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to take the dog out. And it was the dog actually coming to visit.
Yeah. And here's another question. Be it animal or human, Jeffrey, after the passing, is there a kind of a window of opportunity that is relatively short, days or even a couple of 3 weeks, where visitation from the other side is more possible or more probable than it is later on?
All right, well, I'll give you two examples with that. I had a lot of the families from 9/11. The experiences I had, they were getting visitations within 6 days of the passing. Usually, in my experiences, we're talking about something within 30 days, usually, where a person will get a message. Probably a classic example of that would be a dream visitation where they will come in the dream, say goodbye. You know, they may touch you. They may, you know, do a lot of different things. But that's usually in that time frame. That's been my experiences.
So it would seem. But, I mean, on the one hand, if all of this is true, it's completely understandable that it might be very quickly that it would occur. If it's not true, Jeffrey, then it would also be understandable that it would be quite quickly, because, of course, we are in severe mourning. I mean, there's nothing else on your mind, whether it be an animal or a person, really. And so you can imagine that if all this were not real, our brains would still concoct it fairly quickly after the passing.
Oh, without a doubt. But I also find it, which is what I deal with a lot, is that we go through different levels of grief, which you know and everybody knows. And in some cases, because the death, usually we make the death about us and not about the person that passed on, we have a tendency to kind of hang that person up a little bit because we're so angry. And probably a good example of that is recently I had these three ladies that came to me. One was a doctor. She was a psychiatrist. The other one was a lawyer. And the other one was, she worked on the, I guess it's like in the operating room where she ran the machine, you know, when they do open heart surgery.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I don't know the exact term, but they had their mother, and their mother was in hospice, and she was dying of liver cancer. They were all from different parts of the country. They all came into town at one time. The mother was in like the last stage, you know, stage four of really bad liver cancer. And they come in, and they're in about 4 days. And the fourth day, they all decide to go out to dinner because the mother's like, ahead, I'm feeling okay. Don't worry about it. They go out to dinner, and, of course, what happens? The mother passes.
Mm-hmm.
So I see them probably 3-4 weeks afterwards. They're angry. Why did she pass? And I'm like, you guys are missing the point. Like, you got together. That's what she wanted. It allowed her to move on. That's what she was supposed to do. That was part of her journey.
Any idea, Jeffrey, once you pass, how long it is before another incarnation occurs to you? Or is it so far out of any time reference we have that that cannot be answered?
I would say to you, I've had two instances of experiences with clients where they had people in their family reincarnate very quickly. I remember also seeing a thing, if I'm not mistaken, ABC had a thing about a little boy who supposedly was on a ship during World War II and had a connection to the ship because he was a flyer on the ship and he was able to trace it back. And I don't think he was more than 8 or 9 years old. But I would say in the majority of the things I've come across, most of these incarnations are more out of our time frame.
Out of our time frame. So
yeah, meaning in our lifetime.
That's right. So it could be hundreds of years, thousands of years?
I would say probably the hundreds would be probably realistic.
Hundreds of years.
In my experiences. I'm not claiming to be an expert, you know, on that. So.
Okay, going back to animals for just very quickly. I've had cats now for years and years and years and years. Very, very close to cats. I have inside cats only. I am convinced, Jeffrey, absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt, that if we as human beings have souls, and I know that the Bible doesn't necessarily agree with this, but animals have souls too. I look at them, you look at their little eyes, you watch their behavior, they have jealousy, happiness, sadness. They have virtually every emotion that a human being has. You can see in a cat if you live with it 24 hours a day. I absolutely, totally guarantee it. So if we have souls, they have souls.
Oh, without a doubt. I totally agree with you. Plus, the great part of it is that the majority of animals don't have the issues or the nonsense that we have. They're unconditional love. They're giving it to you, you know, because unconditionally they love you.
And that may be, Jeffrey, why we mourn them so tremendously when we go. We can't review any of their bad traits because they really didn't have any.
No, it's an unconditional love more so than anything else. Plus, I find it to be the cats are very psychic. I find it to be dogs are very psychic. I remember our other, you know, golden, I have a new one now, but my one that passed away, I would have instances where I would come home and I would be, you know, sitting in my living room and she would be sitting next to me and I would watch a person come through the house who's not living and the dog would totally react to it.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean cats
really
do it too.
Yes, absolutely. Cats see all kinds of things that we don't see, Jeffrey. All right. Hold tight. We're here at the top of the hour. Jeffrey Wands is my guest, and as the saying goes, he sees dead people. From Manila in the Philippines, where there's a kind of a strange fog or a haze surrounding the city right now, Nothing nuclear, I hope. I'm Art Bell.